do this? Because I am. The NAACP, here's what's going to be on in the bullet points today. The NAACP says cops are not real black people. Hey, man, I can't make that up. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton trading punches on the campaign trail. Clinton campaign in panic mode over Florida black voters. And Hillary Clinton says, well, how about free college for just about everybody? How about that? And Flint gets the cash. That's all in the bullet points section today. Stepping into the arena today, Scott Hagerson for the Trump campaign. Michael Dougherty will be here. Aaron Call will join us. And a whole lot more, including Congressman Tim Walberg and Steve Moore, the economist and Trump surrogate, will be here. I mean, we put this together. It's incredible. I don't know how it gets done, but you better get ready. You better have some coffee because this is the Steve Gruber Show.
This is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop.
Yeah,
stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and wrong. Here is Steve Gruber.
All right, my friends, and welcome to it. Glad to have you on board. A lot going on. As Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and everybody else out on the trail. And James Comey says, don't you call us weasels. Well, if you behave like one, what do you expect to have happen? What do you expect to have happen if you behave like a weasel? What should you be called? Nobody believes there's very little faith at this point in the FBI with everything that they've done as far as they were never serious. They were never serious about investigating Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Never serious about that at all. Let's see. So, okay. All right, Al. Alex is in the basement just checking in on a couple of things for me, making sure a couple of things are done here. But here's where I want to start today, because this is spectacularly stunning to me. You're irrelevant. You're white. Black activists scream when they shut down debate on Black Lives Matter. You're irrelevant, you're white. That's the conversation. One of the craziest things to come out of the Keith Scott shooting in Charleston, North Carolina, is the idea that it is racist for a black police officer to use deadly force on an armed black man. The NAACP in its infinite wisdom has come up with a foolproof way around this little problem. According to the organization, black police officers, well, they're not real black people. So therefore, it's racist if they shoot someone as well. Makes no difference whatsoever. Yeah, basically, any black person gets shot by a police officer, it's racism. Period. It has nothing to do with the situation at hand, possible threats to police officers trying to maintain law and order. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has only to do with racism. And that's all it is. The NAACP not convinced the Scott shooting was justified, despite multiple videos showing that he was armed. Even the fact that a gun was recovered from the scene and that Scott was illegally carrying a weapon when police shot him, and the fact that he just spent 8 years in prison for a violent assault in Texas. None of these things mean anything to the NAACP, apparently, at least not in this case. On Tuesday, the NAACP made a list of demands to the Charlotte Police Department to ensure that black police officers never again shoot and kill threatening armed black men. This report comes from WCNC-TV. Man, I can't make this stuff up. The organization that apparently claims to represent black people said this in their statement. Many black people who become police officers become blue, not black. In order for you to survive in a police department, you take on the blue police department's ideology, ways of life, and culture. Yep, you become a police officer. That's how it works. You become part of the organization. You become a member of the organization. Therefore, you take on its culture. Many black people who become police officers become blue, not black. I mean, that's just stunning. It doesn't get any more clear than that. The NAACP is saying that becoming a police officer robs a black man of his black essence. The black cops are no longer truly black, and that they surrender their black card. They must do this to the NAACP. In the context of the Keith Scott shooting, this statement also implies that black police officers are transformed into racist white killers of innocent black men. This goes along with another popular black concept that articulate black people are acting white or some such nonsense. Or that responsibly employed members of society that happen to be black have sold out to the man, apparently. The NAACP reinforcing the nonsense belief that the only way to be black, you know, is to be the caricature that has become black America in some people's minds. Charlotte officer Brentley Vinson has been identified as the one who shot and killed Keith Scott. He is black and by all accounts a very good police officer. He's the son of one of the first black detectives to serve in the Charlotte Police Department. Former star athlete who played football at Liberty University and Fork Union Military Academy. No record of him engaging in police misconduct. And I'm pretty sure it's probably the first time he's ever been questioned about his blackness, for God's sake. In effect, the NAACP is just saying that Brentley Vinson's just an Uncle Tom. You know, he shot a black guy. He's black. He shouldn't shoot anybody. Shouldn't shoot a black guy. He has a gun. It doesn't matter. He's got a long criminal record for violence. Doesn't matter. He is an Uncle Tom if he shoots another black man. You'd be hard-pressed to find anything more offensive about a justifiable police shooting. Officer Vincent has to live with the fact that he had to do that for the rest of his life. His training, his experience, all of that will still be weighed against that moment in time. When he, in the defense of his own life, in the interest of self-preservation, decided that he had to shoot. But this is the state of things today in America after 8 years of the first black president in America, a man that should have united this country, who should have lit the path going forward to bring people together. We're more divided today than we have ever been. It just shouldn't be that way. It's time to come back together as Americans. 14 after on the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
All right, 18 after. I want to read you something here before we get to our next guest because, all right, you've heard all this nonsense, distractions over some Miss Universe pageant winner back in the mid-1990s that Donald Trump, you know, allegedly insulted because she gained a lot of weight. And so, therefore, he's a misogynist. He's an awful human being. And, you know, we need to talk about that as opposed to the economy and jobs and, you know, protecting America going forward. Well, isn't it interesting that Donald Trump is this bad guy? But yet in a report done in January of 1997, here is how CNN covered the story. When Alicia Machado of Venezuela was named Miss Universe 9 months ago, no one could accuse her of being the size of the universe. But as her universe expanded, so did she, putting on nearly 60 pounds. Indeed, the reigning Miss Universe learned the hard way that an extra 15 or 20 pounds can gain you a ton of publicity. But now she's determined to shed at least 15 pounds. Now, here's a quote. Some people, when they have pressure, eat too much, like me, like Alicia, said the executive producer of the Miss Universe pageant, Donald Trump. Oh, wait a second. He also had the right to fire her because of her conduct, because of her contract. But Trump, as co-owner of rights to the pageant, said he would never let this happen, quote, "We had a choice of termination or do this. We wanted to do this, and doing this was getting her into the gym and getting her a personal trainer." That's the guy that Hillary Clinton, and by the way, Machado, was charged with attempted murder for driving the getaway car from a murder scene of a judge. And this is Hillary Clinton's surrogate. 20 after, our next guest, Scott Hagerstrom from the Trump campaign here in Michigan. Scott, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So we waste an awful lot of time talking about beauty pageants from the mid-1990s that mean exactly nothing to what's going on in America today. But what's even worse about it is we're wasting time on somebody who has no credibility, who Donald Trump tried very hard to help, not hurt. That's what really irritates me about this story.
Well, definitely. We know the national media is biased. We know that. We know we have two opponents, Hillary Clinton and the national media. But the fact is, Americans, people here in Michigan, know that Donald Trump is the candidate of change. They know that we're not respected abroad. We know we're not safe here at the homeland. They know that wages are dropping. We're not bringing in the jobs that we need. And they know that Donald Trump will change that. And that's why Donald Trump's going to win this election on November 8th.
So Donald Trump coming back, I see that a couple of new polls came out, and in Michigan now, the Real Clear Politics has the average of Hillary Clinton's lead in Michigan down to 4.3 points. It was just shy of 10 points here in Michigan at the end of August. So in 1 month, it's gone from almost 10 points to less than half of that to just over four. What's it going to take for Donald Trump to close the deal here, seal the deal, make the sale to people in Michigan?
Well, I think people here in Michigan realize that Hillary Clinton is taking their vote for granted. She's only been here once back in early August since the convention. Donald Trump, yes, will be here in Michigan on Friday at the Suburban Showplace in Novi at 5 o'clock. Doors open at 2 o'clock. And, you know, Mr. Trump is talking about the issues that matter to Michigan voters the most. Michigan voters know that NAFTA decimated our manufacturing base here in Michigan. And they also know that the TPP passes, which Hillary Clinton called the gold standard in trade deals, that it will further decimate manufacturing here in Michigan. We just can't afford, Michigan families can't afford Hillary Clinton.
Oh, and by the way, for anybody who doesn't believe that manufacturing jobs in the auto industry are going to Mexico, in the last 2 years, the Mexican auto industry and their production has gone up over 40%. Think about that, over 40% increase in the number of cars being produced in Mexico as opposed to here. Excuse me. And sometime soon, Chrysler won't even make any cars in the United States, and that's going to happen soon. Chrysler won't make us, they'll make trucks and so forth, but no cars. So there are jobs leaving America because of all these, well, as Donald Trump would put it, bad deals.
What Ford doesn't tell you is there's Tier 1 and Tier 2 and Tier 3 auto suppliers that are losing contracts because Ford is moving production of small cars to Mexico. And these suppliers won't speak out because they do have other contracts with Ford, so they're afraid they're going to lose other business. But
sure.
The fact is these auto suppliers are going to be laying people off. They're
now, what about
people off because
go ahead, finish up.
No, the fact is people are losing their jobs with these auto suppliers. As we know, auto manufacturing is very decentralized. Ford many times just assembles cars. They buy parts from other companies, and these other companies are laying people off. And so there are lots of jobs out there. And,
so let's talk about something else that came up on the campaign trail, and that is Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders out there yesterday basically saying anybody who makes less than $125,000 a year, you won't have to pay for your kids to go to college. If you make less than $125,000, tell you what, it'll be debt-free. So I guess that covers about 83% of America now gets to go to college for free. No plan to pay for this. To me, it sounds like, hey, kids, I'll give you free college if you just vote for me. It sounds like buying votes, but what do I know?
Yeah, you know, I think this goes back to what Donald Trump brought up in the debate and started to lay the groundwork for. Hillary Clinton has been in Washington, D.C. for 26 years. They talk about a lot of things, reforming a lot of things, but actually nothing ever happens. It's just rhetoric. It's just talk. Hillary Clinton is very scripted. She's a professional talker. And we know that it's just election year rhetoric. And once they get in office, they're going to do what they want to do. And the fact is Donald Trump is a builder. He gets things done. He's not a professional talker. And, if you're sick of the talk, if you're sick of the rigged system, where no matter how hard you work, you can't get ahead, then we need to elect Donald Trump.
All right, Scott, before I let you go today, how many seats in this facility in Novi? Where do people get tickets, real quick?
Sure, go to DonaldTrump.com and go to schedule, and then there you can click to sign up. There's over a capacity of over 7,000 people. It's in Novi, and we look forward to seeing 7,000 people there.
7,000 seats. I'm sure you'll fill them. Thank you, Scott.
Yes. Great. Thank you.
All right. It's the Steve Ribber Show.
Taking a closer look at the stories that affect you most with a big dose of common sense.
The hotline number here is 888-900-9966. You ought to be a part of it. 888-900-9966. Quickly to Matt and Okemos. Matt, real quickly, what's on your mind?
I want to say they can't take the roads, bridges, or Obamacare. They just started, and they want to give free college tuition.
Yeah, they can't get those things done. They just want to buy your vote. They'll never be free college tuition, but they'll make promises of that. Anyhow, thanks for stopping in, Matt. Bernie Sanders. Finally, Hillary Clinton actually had some people in the crowd. Finally, because Trump's putting 10, 12, 14,000 people at a time in rooms, overpacking them. He'll be in Michigan Friday at Novi. I'd guess that he'll put 7,000 people in the event center there at the Novi event. We'll see. My next guest, Michael Daugherty, he's joining me to talk more about the whole world and the campaign and so forth. Daugherty, welcome back.
Good morning, sir.
How are things?
Pretty good, man. I just got back from Oregon, so life's good.
Yeah. Alex, do we have clip 12? Yeah, here's what I want to do. Daugherty, I want you to listen to this clip of Gary Johnson yesterday. There's a reason I'm playing this. Gary Johnson with MSNBC's Chris Matthews. The question is, name any world leader that you think is great or respect. Go.
Can name a foreign leader that you respect.
I guess I'm having an Aleppo moment in the former president of Mexico.
But I'm giving you the whole world.
I know.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
I'm having a brain.
Name anybody.
Fox.
All right. That's enough. You get it. He can't name anybody. He doesn't. The Aleppo thing was bad enough. He can't name a single world leader. I bring this to your attention, Daugherty, because I want your feedback on this. You're a University of Michigan guy, right?
Yeah.
The Detroit News today will endorse that guy for president.
Oh, no. Well, it's the Detroit News. Okay, come on. What are you going to do? Oh, no way.
Isn't that embarrassing? The Detroit News, because the editor, who's on here from time to time, of the op-ed page, who I think is a decent guy, Nolan Finley, but he's been on this Never Trump thing, since it started, and he just won't let go of it. So, Gary Johnson, he's a good alternative. Did you just hear a guy who can't name a single world leader? Not one. Anyhow.
Well, the big picture is this. This didn't take 4 years to come. This took about 20, 25 years to hit, where reality is striking people in the face and they don't want to deal with it. When you ignore the Constitution, ignore the populace, start this huge tentacle-laden bureaucratic organism, and finally the people wake up, you get candidates like Trump. And these people are having a problem because they're looking at Hillary and Trump at a debate, and they're sitting home going, ruh-roh. And then they do stupid things like, too bad.
Yeah, too bad. Meanwhile, James Comey demands, do not call us weasels. Well, do you have another name you prefer, Mr. Comey? Because weasels seems to be pretty appropriate from where I'm sitting.
Well, did you understand what happened? And And thank you, Daryl Issa, my big buddy in Congress.
Yeah, no kidding.
He'll help me so much. What he did to Comey yesterday at the Judiciary Committee, he called out that the immunity grants were broader than people know. And he gave immunity to people that were for potentially destroying documents.
Not for potentially destroying. The one guy, Combetta, he was the guy that was on Reddit trying to get advice from, you know, college kids on how to, you know, bleach bit the whole damn thing, and he did it after there was a subpoena from Congress, and he got immunity, for God's sake. And worse than that, Cheryl Mills got not just immunity from destruction of government documents, but transactional immunity too, it seems.
And she is the architect for this. This is the woman that does the cleanup for decades for the Clintons. This is unbelievable. And it's interesting what happens to your career when you get too close to Clintons, because Comey had such a great reputation, and wow, too close to the light, he is permanently toasted.
Yeah, he has a reputation, all right, but it's not what it was a year ago now, is it?
No.
No, he's destroyed. So I think it's fair to say there never was a serious investigation here.
No, it seems like it was proactively put in the bag. And I want to know what they had on him, because it was pretty unbelievable. If these people turning, you know, a criminal because they're that afraid of a Republican administration and for their jobs, it's crazy. It does show objectively sort of the Sopranos move to Washington type thing. It really shows how people can, you know, snip their whole careers and their understanding of the Constitution and how much of love of country when push comes to shove. It's terrifying.
Yeah, the money, the power. Let's be honest. Hillary Clinton only cares about two things, money and power, because if those coming across the southern border were Republicans, that wall would be poured already.
That's right.
There's no question about it. It's serious. If they're going to vote for Republicans, they'd be done already. But instead, they're out there saying, hey, let's tax the rich. What are we taxing the rich for today, Bernie and Hill? Well, we're going to tax them for free college this time around. Only 83% of Americans would get college for free. 83%. The other 17% would have to pay for everybody else to go to college, apparently, from what I heard yesterday. It's incredible.
Well, and it's interesting that now Trump is now getting upset because he let opportunity pass, and people are pointing it out, and he's ticked off about it. But he let opportunity pass.
Yeah. It's incredible. All right, so
we got two more debates.
Yeah, we do have two more debates. He let some stuff get away there. I actually think that maybe that was part of the... She is so arrogant right now. She is so, you know, figures she's got him. See, now she's going to drop her guard a little bit. I think that he has an opening here that he didn't have before, potentially.
Well, look, it's not that big a deal in the long run because he's got two more. Because let's not forget, he was totally written off, like, what, 6 weeks ago? Was down by 10 and 12 points.
Yep, it was over.
So it's over. I mean, you know, and these people, listeners, pay attention to the vicious temper tantrum you're going to see the next 4 weeks, because you think dirty laundry's hit yet? Oh, and where's Julian Assange?
Don't worry.
Well, we got a lot more to go. Yeah. There's a lot more hills in this roller coaster, trust me.
Yeah, Julian Assange, that's what I say. I figure he'll drop the bomb. I figure 48 hours from in front of the third debate. I wrote about this earlier this week. 48 hours before the third debate, he'll lay the big bomb on the table that can't be ignored during the third debate, which will make the whole debate about whatever that is he puts out there potentially. Now that we know that... I need you to weigh in. What was Barack Obama's secret name?
You know, I don't know. I mean, let me see. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Agent 99? Mr. Clean? Man in the yellow hat? What was it? Come on.
I don't know.
I mean, can you imagine? That's the scoop. If you can get that for me.
Liar.
You know, he's the guy that was sending his secret, you know, secret agent man when he's talking to Hillary Clinton on the email. He knew nothing about, of course, but yet he was communicating with it with a secret name.
That he lies so much, it's not even news.
Isn't it weird? All right, give me 30 seconds on this race and who's going to win and why, and that's it, and then we're going to run.
Oh, I think Trump's actually going to win. I think this thing is so tight. And I think he's a competitor, and I think he did make a mistake, and he won't pass that up again. It's push comes to shove time, and you got to show who wants it. If it's this tight, She's in trouble.
Nah, I don't disagree with that after $100 million spent on her part or more. All right, Michael Dougherty, always a pleasure. Where can they find your books?
TheDevilInsideTheBelly.com, Amazon, all over Amazon.
There it is, Michael Dougherty, my hero. And sometime we'll talk about TV. Thanks for stopping in. It's the Steve Gerber Show on a Thursday. Back after this.
Keeping you in touch with Michigan and the world.
And welcome back to it. Thursday here on the program. Listen, if you're looking for more information or a place to listen live, SteveGerber.com is there for you for that. It's all there for you. SteveGerber.com. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well and keep up with what's going on. Shoot us questions or call us on the hotline, 888-900-9966. My next guest has been here before. We bring him in to tell us how people did in debates and how things have gone. Aaron Call, who is from the University of Michigan and the director of debate there. Aaron, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so the debate, I mean, this is the way I scored the debate, that you know, Trump won the first 30 or 40 minutes. After that, it was kind of a draw, and Hillary Clinton won the back end of it. That's kind of my thumbnail, 30,000 view return on that. What was your take?
Yeah, something very similar. I thought that he started out very strongly. The issue of free trade and the mentioning repeatedly of states like Michigan and Ohio that are going to be pivotal in the election. But he kind of faded towards the end, I thought, after starting out really strong. I thought his lack of one-on-one debate experience and lack of formal preparation for the debate kind of hurt him. And by the end, Clinton, I thought, finished strong. Some issues that came up certainly weren't of help to him, the birtherism issue, and then Clinton waited until the very end to talk about his comments towards women, and he decided not to employ the nuclear option, and end the night ended on.
Do you think that was the right thing, by the way? Because I think, I don't know if it was the right thing or not, the wrong thing. The fact of the matter is most millennials are not familiar with the nuclear option, that being Bill Clinton's, parade of bimbos, I think is the way it was put back in the 90s. And the fact that his wife was the cleaner. I mean, she was the one that would go in and tidy things up afterwards. And that didn't come up. Was he right or wrong to avoid that?
I think that was the right decision. Going into the debate, the largest issue he had to address was his temperament about, 60%, two-thirds of the country aren't sure he's got the right temperament to be president. And he knew that. And through the entire debate, he didn't refer to his crooked Hillary. And not going there in the end, I know, was tough for him. And he was, really biting his tongue. But overall, for kind of what he has to do in order to win, I think that was probably the right decision.
So at the end of the day, I don't know what happened there. Do you think he's mad at us? We'll get that cleaned up. Aaron Call from the University of Michigan, debate at the University of Michigan. He thinks that the sniffling that Donald suffered from there at Hofstra was distracting, and therefore he gave the debate edge to Hillary Clinton by a little bit. Are we back?
I'm here.
Oh, there you go. We had a funny noise on the line there. Anyhow, but you thought the sniffling was distracting as well, correct?
It was. The nonverbal kind of the cutaway shots where you can see the other person not debating. We had the size with Al Gore, George H.W. Bush looking at his watch. And to me, this was, something like that, where he may have not been 100%, a little bit under the weather. I know he didn't admit that. He said that there was nothing wrong, but everybody saw that. And it's just unfortunate that at such a high-stake moment, that he wasn't, at top form, but it's very grueling on the campaign trail.
Yeah, I didn't think that it was as distracting as you did, apparently, and it didn't get the coverage, obviously, as Al Gore's size or the watch check, the time check by George H.W. But I think tell me this, because I think now you've got two more of these things. You'll have huge viewership for the other two, maybe not quite 85 million, but you'll have 60 or 70 million. And I think that Hillary Clinton has frankly, she's come out of this pretty arrogant, I think. And I think that it sets the table for him to perform better. I think she has set the bar so high for herself now that if he comes in and has a stronger performance, that it really could have an impact.
Yeah, I would agree with that. She had higher expectations going into the first debate by about 10 points. People thought she'd prevail. And now you know, some of these polls afterwards, if she won by, you know, 30 or so points, then yeah, the expectations may be impossible for her to meet no matter what she does. So he certainly has the opportunity in the last two debates to do really well, and I would certainly never count him out. I think he's going to alter his preparation style a little bit. The unique thing with the next debate is in St. Louis is it's a town hall format, so how the candidates relate to the questioners and kind of show empathy towards them, it will be really important to who ends up winning.
Really important because, well, here's the thing. If she has performances that are considered not as good as her first one, well, that would lend just a little bit of momentum to him in a race this tight. And let's be honest, it's a toss-up all over. I mean, you've got him leading in some key swing states like Florida and Ohio and North Carolina, but there's no room for error. And for her, there are certain states like Pennsylvania, New Hampshire. That's why she was in New Hampshire yesterday. She cannot afford to lose even those four electoral votes in New Hampshire. That's how close this election is. She knows it. So does he. So I think that any chance that she has to capitalize in these last two debates will be extremely important.
Yeah, no, definitely. Those states are kind of her firewall, and yeah, we could have a situation like 2012 where Mitt Romney won by about a similar margins for the first debate, but then President Obama came back and won the second two debates handily. So there's really no relationship between the first debate and the last ones. You mentioned viewership. You know, we had 84 million people watch the first one. But some years we have a dramatic decline, but I think, given how close the race is, and that there was no knockout punch in the first debate, we could see similar viewership numbers or even, you know, increased interest in the last two debates. I mean, it's the best of three.
Well, here's something else that that is possible. And if Donald Trump wins New Hampshire and Hillary Clinton wins Colorado and Hillary Clinton wins Pennsylvania and Trump picks up Ohio and Florida and some other states, there's a very real scenario where they both end with 269. And talk about a divided country, because then it goes to the House of Representatives, and it's actually very plausible. There's no wild cards there. Just if the states break in a certain way, you'd be at 269, something we've never seen before. What do you think about that?
That sounds like a movie, a bad movie. And I don't know if it goes to the House, are they even bound to select Trump or Clinton as president? Yes, we could have President Paul Ryan in that scenario.
That's right, or whoever they pick. That's right. They're not bound to do anything. They're bound to pick a president. And they're not bound to take one of the two people there. That's exactly true. Aaron, there's something, a bad movie. I thought I was already in a bad movie, but so it is. Aaron, I appreciate you checking in. I'm sure we'll talk after the next debates as well. Appreciate it as always.
Sounds good. Anytime.
There you have it. Aaron Call, director of the debate at the University of Michigan. And so close, you see what's on the table here. It is 52 after, back in just a moment.